The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent.
Welcome to podcast number 354 of the Technology Podcast. I'm Jared Reimer. Time to get your Embrail on. iOS 14 broke Embrail, but this is not the first time that software has been broken when major operating systems like iOS have gotten updated. I talk about that with Get Your Embrail On and iOS 14 software stuff. Sean Everest is along talking about Yahoo. Yahoo Groups is going to be closing as of December 15th. His segment is 23 minutes. I hope that you'll enjoy it as much as I have. I know I haven't listened to it all at the time of the intro, but I did listen to quite a bit of it, and his retrospective is well worth it. There's something that really bothers me. The blind community going around petitioning for things like discounts for free or low-cost products when there can already be discounts, especially with phones and your carrier, or, for example, AppleCare. I talk about list managers in general, including Mailman, Topica, Yahoo Groups, and something that a lot of people don't know about, which probably doesn't exist anymore, called Majordomo. Contact information is at the end of the program. I'll give it here quickly. Email iMessage tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. See you next time on another edition of the Technology Podcast. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Time to get your Embrail on. It turns out that when iOS 14 came out, that it broke Embrail. It could be used, and I used it for a little while, but there was no speech feedback, making it difficult. And while I can somewhat use a phone without speech, I didn't think that was very nice. Now, to be fair, the developers may not have access to the beta, and when they update their software and find that their software doesn't work, they go to work on fixing it. There were some issues in Dice World, for example, that popped up that they had to go fix. So I'm not saying that Embrail was the only piece of software out there that had problems. What I am saying is that they probably are not the only ones that had problems. This is going to happen with any operating system, I'm sure. You know, while the assistive technology aspect of the tech world wants to get their hands on the software, so by the time we get it, we have software that works. They have working agreements with Microsoft. So when Windows 10 came out, and JAWS and WindowEyes, the two big screen readers at the time, came out and said, yes, our software works. You know, NVDA may have came out and said, you know what, we need a little more time. You know, but that's going to be with any piece of software. Now, with that being said, there's other mainstream software packages that were not ready with iOS. I saw some of the other packages, like, let's say, Pandora, for example. iOS 14 compatibility, you know. TuneIn, for example, maybe iOS 14 compatibility. Now, some apps may have just worked. You know, the long-standing Magnitude app that I published on AppleVis still works. They connect with Magnitude's website, and then when there are new releases, it just works. There's really no need to update the app. There were some UI stuff, but I think overall it's worked itself out. There isn't really a big, huge problem with it. You know, that particular app has been very accessible, and when Magnitude releases, you know, we're well aware of it. So, what else? What has been your experience with iOS 14 and some of the apps you use? Let's talk. Coming up next, our big topic, Yahoo Groups going away. Sean Everest is going to start us off on this topic. His file is 23 minutes, and it's coming up next.
Hello all, this is Crash Master, your secondary admin of the Technology Blog and Podcast on the Jared Reimer Network. Initially I was going to find a soundtrack for this, but I couldn't find one, and to be honest, I don't know if one is necessary. I forgot when this was. Someone can refresh my memory. I think it was I haven't looked at the articles, but I think it was somewhere 2016, around there, I think. It's been a while, at least 2 years ago anyway, that Yahoo decided to privatize its groups for security and various other things. And decided to take the main content off its site and letting people use the groups. Back then, I remember people saying that Yahoo were killing off the groups. Well, it's finally happened. I received, and as well as that,
everyone who has owned or subscribed to a Yahoo group or has a Yahoo group's account, especially if you are a creator or a maker, will have received a message by now stating that after 20 years of activity helping to put together one of the first online communities that Yahoo Groups has officially been ended. So we're talking 2019-99. It's the message states that the oldest group system is finally being discontinued. Now, on one hand, I'm not surprised, because after all the security issues and breaches in Yahoo and various other problems, Yahoo essentially began this process of pulling its group systems. A lot of people suspected that Yahoo was going to shut down its groups. In fact, a lot of people thought Yahoo was going to shut down completely. Still, it's a bit of a shock. I have one group, the Dolphin Users group, stuck on Yahoo Groups. I suppose everyone's going to go to groups.io or something. I also have a foundation, one of my foundation technology groups. That's on groups that on Yahoo Groups. So there's a lot of things that are still on Yahoo Groups, but a lot of things are not. And since I have a bit of time tonight before I go to bed, I was going to spend it playing a game or listening to a podcast. I have two podcasts lined up in front of me on my hard drive. And I got this message, and I feel that for history, and only history, something needs to be done. Experiences need to be shared. And while we may have problems, including myself and the rest of the team at the blog and others online, we should share our memories, fond or otherwise, with the community at large, because let's face it, this is big. Now, I'm not going to spend the time uploading this to the Blind VM's cast. It's just going to go about to the technology site, and I'll put the file on Dropbox and spread it over emails. Maybe. I'll blog it. I'll do something. Anyway, I thought to kick off the conversation of remembrance that I'd share you my experiences with Yahoo Groups, at least the earliest experiences with Yahoo Groups. Because I was not only one of the first into Yahoo Groups, but one of the first adopters of the net when it became mainstream in New Zealand in late 1995, early 1996. Back in the days of dial-up, where you spent $2.50 per hour I think it was, where you had one phone line, where you had a 36K connection or slower, where people were just getting into the fact that the net was becoming one big thing. And not just for military or research institutions. My first experience with Yahoo Groups was realizing that there was more to the world than just me. Before the net, it was just me and my little corner of the world. There was no way I could get out. I hadn't traveled yet. Well, I'd been to Australia once, but I hadn't actually gone anywhere massive. And things were not the same. Things were just changing. The net opened things up. Things to read, things to do. Yahoo Groups was one of the first discussion platform that I joined, along with Freelists and Topica. I think some of those are gone now. I'm not sure what Freelists, I think Topica is gone. Email has always been the central part of my communications. I do and have branched into forums as well as Zoom, and to a lesser degree for a while Skype and Windows Messenger slash MSN. But before all those, I went to Yahoo Groups, joined the Dolphins Users Group in I think 2000. And shortly after that, others. In 2001, I took a year-long independence life skills course in Homai College, which was the first time I'd been away. It was a local blind school, probably the only one in the country at the time. There are more resource centers now. Now, back then, 2001, there was no such thing as SSL or secured socket layer. Well, whatever. Maybe it's a secure socket layer, socket secure layer, whatever. There was no such thing as SSL, at least in email lists. And that worked fine enough until you had to do stuff away from your own network. Now, thank God we have good Gmail right now, and that is possible, but back then it wasn't. So back then, I didn't have my own laptop with me initially. I mean, I did, but I didn't. And I couldn't connect to my provider that I had. Unless I was at home, I couldn't connect to it from the network at the institute because, well, you just weren't allowed in. You could only connect to it when you're able to dial into the system. It was pretty limited. So, the only way I could handle that for a while was via a Hotmail address. And back then, Hotmail was this little provider which you used for email, but there was nothing extra with it. That didn't have SSL back then, and in fact, Yahoo Groups didn't have SSL. And that's okay, except every few days, I got a message saying,
Your address has been flagged as spam and you have been banned from accessing Yahoo groups because your email address is bouncing too much. And I contacted Yahoo support and I said, oh, listen, I am being bounced a lot because my address keeps getting banned. Now, I am on a network. Do you guys by any chance have SSL? And they said they didn't. And I said, well, I'm in this course for the next year. Can you set something up so that when the system bounces, I can get unbounced? Because, you know, now back then I could have got SSL, but it was another $120 per month. Amazing what we get for free, what we take for granted. SSL is up to 3.0 now. We have TLS, the Transport Secure Socket Layer, at 2.0, I think it is. We have certificates for everything. Good guys have it, bad guys have it. Back then, SSL 1.0 was being adopted, but it wasn't everywhere. So web servers had it. Some shopping sites had it. But generally, email, that was the last thing you had SSL on back then. I mean, hardly anything supported it. I think Outlook did. I was using Outlook 97 back then. I think Outlook had some SSL support. I used Eudora, God, Eudora 6 or was it 7? Can you even remember Eudora? It's such an old program now. I used Eudora back then and I basically, yeah, it was a problem. Later on in the year, I think I did manage to, I don't know, did I pay for it or did I get SSL on my provider? And was able to access all my mail that way. But it still meant that I had no SSL on the Yahoo group. Yahoo wasn't to get SSL properly until, I think it was 2004, and that was okay because I never went remote again until, ironically, when was that? Let me just access something quickly. I don't know. I think it was 2000 and 2009, 2010, I think. My first trip out to Melbourne, end of that year. It might have been earlier, might have been later. But by then, I was on Gmail. And I was overseas, and by then it had SSL, and as I was able to do all my work via SSL straight off the system, straight off the net. Now, and I had my provider. Now this isn't the OAuth Gmail SSL specification that exists now. It was straight SSL. I'm not sure what version. And there was a delay for data retrieval and all that sort of fun stuff. Point is, I got access to mail. And I found that quite good. Now that's my first experience with Yahoo groups. Now, I never got any malware off a Yahoo group, and I've never got hacked from a Yahoo group. But I have had people from family to others who did get hacked through Yahoo addresses. But that's another story. Yahoo groups has been a very good thing, and it has been for quite a while. Now there are platforms that are much better than Yahoo groups, and Yahoo groups is now obsolete. It's no longer needed. It can go away. Still, it needs to be honored because of what it was. It was the start of the move into the digital divide, things a lot of people now take for granted, when privacy was still, you know, privacy. We were a year out before the social network revolution. The net was still a bunch of websites that that you use, a bunch of websites that you use, and email, a few games. And now look, our lives are online. Shops are going online. We have this little horrible little bastard called COVID-19, and we're still able to connect. It's not always that easy, but we can connect, and we have fiber. We don't clog up the phone lines when we connect, and we don't have to pay $2.50 an hour for dial-up anymore, or pay for each email message or anything like that. We don't have 10 meg storage limits. We don't have modems. We don't have to dial into the net. It's just there. I mean, today, Apple just announced the switch to the 5G phone network. There's even talk at some stage, although not my old man doesn't completely agree with it, but one day we may even abandon fiber connections completely. I don't know when that is, but one day we will, you know, abandon it. We've already abandoned physical phone lines, and like it or loathe it, you know, it's happened. As long as the lights are on, we have communications at fast speeds. We are closing on the cheapening of solid state internal drives. We are approaching and the end. In fact, I have seen laptops with dual drives of 2.5 drives of SSD type. Now they're not that big. You're talking half a gig, two drives, half a gig, but it's happening. It's starting to happen. And it's only a matter of times before the 3 terabit, 4 terabit, 5 terabit, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 terabit SSD drives drop to a price we can afford them. The 1 or 2 terabit SSDs are still a bit more expensive than standard magnetic drives, but we're close to seeing those drop. And one day they'll become external drives as well. Things are getting better, they're getting smarter. And as long as we keep the world together and don't all get destroyed by ourselves, we will make history. So, anyway, Yahoo groups is going, and it's one of the histories of the biggest history, should I say, of what we started with, and we shouldn't forget it. That's it. I'm going to go away now. That's all I want to say. If anyone wants to share, they can comment, or there's a contact us page on the site. On the website, there's a contact us page on the Jared Reimer Network Technology, the Jared Reimer Network website. It's got addresses on them, email addresses. So email if you feel like it. Share your experiences of what things were like for you, for those who have used it. I think Yahoo Groups was a good place and has continued to be for that time, but now Yahoo Groups is closing down. Yahoo Groups is going away. Groups.io is the next push into, and you should all try to go to groups.io, should I say, which is one of the best systems I've been on. They even pushed to be accessibility friendly, and that's it. Goodbye and have a good life.
Thank you, Sean, for that awesome Yahoo Groups experience message that you put here. And I'll have my own email list experience coming up a little bit later on the program. But first, I want to talk about maybe something that might be a little bit sensitive to some folks. Nope, not COVID-19. I'm not going to do COVID-19. I am going to talk about something that I saw on AppleVis, and I'm not going to sit here and trash AppleVis. They've got a disclaimer saying, you know, anything posted here is not our responsibility. You know, the poster posts it and we disclaim no warranties, that type of thing. So I've got no reason to bash AppleVis. In fact, a lot of the blog posts on Apple stuff come from AppleVis because they cover Apple and the disabled aspect of what they're doing and reporting on issues and other stuff. For those who are not aware of AppleVis, they have an extensive directory of many, many, many apps, and whether they're accessible to the disabled, if they are, what types of issues might be encountered, and the whole bit. So the site is very useful. So on this site, I came across a forum topic. And first I wasn't interested. But then I got to thinking, what's up there? And I came across it on the first page again, and I thought, what's up with this? So I decided to do a little reading. And I read the post, and it talked about the iPhone, and it talked about a petition. I thought, okay. But then it went so far as to stipulate that the iPhone should have a discount for people who are disabled, just like they do in educational facilities, such as a school or a maybe a job, you know, setting where you have the proper things that they ask for, and you qualify that way. Now, we in the United States have a service called BARD through the National Library Service. Now, how do we get that? We prove our disability through providing them paperwork stating that we're blind, signed by a certified eye doctor or doctor who takes care of you on a regular basis that can vouch for the fact that you can't see. And Learning Ally, formerly Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, was the same way. Now, dyslexia, for those who are not aware, is getting letters mixed up in some form. You can read, but you've got trouble with letters because maybe an E at some point in time during the day or night might look like an I, or words might look different to you than they do at other times of the day. So RFBND, now known as Learning Ally, works with that group as well. But the National Library Service, mainly to my knowledge, works with the blind. Now, if I'm wrong on this, then somebody let me know. So, this petition wasn't read by me, but a lot of the comments were negative. And I support that. Now, why do I support not having a discount for the disabled? Well, first of all, if you're talking about just the blind, Apple would then need to have a process in place to where you have a letter sent or faxed from your doctor or someone who takes care of you in the medical field, stating your physical disability, and that it, you know, prohibits you from whatever. In the case of NLS and Learning Ally, the fact is they can say, yes, they've got dyslexia, we've got blindness, and that prohibits them from reading, and you can sign it. But for a discount on a phone or an accessory or whatever, how are you going to prove to a company that you have a disability and you qualify for that, when one of the comments, which was very well stated, said, if they do this, then people are going to fake a disability just so they can get a discount. And people already do that. What about food stamps and Medicare and Medi-Cal and some of these services that may be similar in other countries? As I know that this podcast is going to various countries around the world. What about you all? How would you feel if somebody took advantage of these programs and decided that they wanted to get Medicare so they didn't have to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for whatever procedure they were going to have? I'm pretty confident when I say that this type of thing happens all the time. And when they get caught by breaking the rules, they are steeply penalized. So, my question to the listening audience is, how are you going to prove that you qualify for this disabled discount without, you know, having some way to send them anything? And who at the company is going to be responsible for that? You know, at the Library of Congress, it's a governmental site. They work with cooperating libraries such as Braille Institute in Los Angeles and other libraries around the country that are specialized and carry the necessary equipment that the government is providing them for that purpose. Now, if I were Apple and I got this petition, the first thing I'd ask is, what is in it for us and how are we going to make it fair so that non-disabled people don't take advantage of it? Because you know the non-disabled are going to take advantage of that. You understand that. So how do we do that? It wasn't discussed in the forum post. Not at all. I didn't go to FreshBooks and say, FreshBooks, tell you what, I'm disabled. I don't have the money to pay for your service. But I really need your service. It's awesome. You guys have helped me out by making it accessible, but I can't pay for it. At the time, there was the free service. But the free service has closed. They no longer offer the free service. So, I'm either going to have to pay for it, or I'm going to have to say I can't do it anymore. But I use them as a billing agent to bill my customers. And yes, I could actually pay them now. I just have to make it right. I am a small business. I don't make a lot of money. But I do have to pay the price. Now, I'll take this a little bit further. How about the steep price of the SMA, the software maintenance agreement that JAWS has? Frankly, I would rather pay the higher price to get 2 years than the lower price per year. It just makes sense to do that. Now, unless there is a reason, like the price is so high that it just makes better sense to pay by year. Then I'll switch. But for now, I'll do that because I think it just makes more economical sense. Now, would I love the Vispero Group to lower the price of the SMA? Oh, absolutely. I think $150 is really, really expensive for us. And they are a blind company. They make software for blind people. But they have really gone by leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. For us to be able to use the software at an affordable price. But it is up to the company to do that. They are now offering Vispero $90 a year home annual licenses. That's not bad, but it's not free either. Now, when GW Micro was around, they were the first company to offer a payment plan for WindowEyes. Yes, I know GW Micro is no longer around. You can search them on the blog. You can look at that whole history on how they were bought out and then eventually were forced to close their doors. Okay, fine. But Freedom Scientific went backwards and said, okay, we need to do something to make our software affordable to everyone. And this is what they've done. Now, because of COVID, they are offering a home annual license to everybody in the US and Canada, and other dealers may be doing the same thing. And that is a gesture that's in kind. You have a free license if you don't have access to software to use as long as this is out. It's not a guarantee, but they're giving you something to use. I don't know how it works. I'm not interested in looking into it. I'll use my current license and pay my fees. But at the same time, I know that this petition, which is what started this discussion, is gonna go wrong real quick. Apple makes billions and billions of dollars. Yes. They're probably the biggest company out there. In fact, I remember reading once that they basically are the, I believe the term is GDP, the gross domestic product They have such a large amount of money in this space that they could basically pay off the United States debt and probably still have money. But that's not what this is about. I don't think it's appropriate to ask a company for discounts when they pretty much have already done that already. The cheapest phone is around $400, and the most expensive is over $1,000. Sure, Android goes under $200 or under $300, but you've got many, many flavors of Android, and some may be supported more than others. So for the Apple ecosystem, for you to be at $400, you've got lots of options. You've got the AppleCare. You've got your carrier. You've got lots of options to be able to give you the flexibility of paying that so you don't have to pay the high price. On the blog post, which I will link to this podcast, I talk about FreshBooks and how I didn't beg for free because I'm blind. The service wasn't accessible when I started with it in 2011, but then it became accessible because I worked with them. I found bugs. They gave me free time for those bugs. I think that the idea of a petition should have been made to make sure that they fix all of their accessibility bugs that are still outstanding, and there are a lot of them, from voice to braille. I don't think that the hearing impaired listen to this podcast because, first of all, they might find it hard to hear depending on their hearing impairment, but we don't offer transcripts. But if there is someone with a hearing impairment listening that is able to listen to enough of it to be able to, you know, communicate and make sense of it, I'd be curious to find out if there are any bugs in the hearing impairment aspect of the iOS system. There has to be. And I don't know if they are outstanding or if they have been fixed. But at least they're trying. And if you're an Android user and you know of other disability features that make your hearing impairment with your phone work for you, I'd like to hear from you too. I don't know if Android supports hearing impairment aspects of using a phone. I know that they can do text messages, but you know, they're going to have to communicate with people that don't have text message. So, what do they have? I know that iOS has got, you know, volume stuff and various other aspects that can work with hearing aids, but I've not heard of anything on Android. How about petitions for that? Asking for discounts without some way of having an idea how it's going to work with the current landscape that we live in, even without COVID. We have to have a plan in place or have an idea how it should work. Again, I haven't read the petition, but I think this is a bad idea. Please comment. The comment boards await you. Welcome back to the Tech Podcast, everybody. I am Jared Reimer, and it's going to be my turn to talk a little bit about the list managers. Now, I started by subscribing to lists through Majordomo software. Now, what's Majordomo? Majordomo is another list manager. They had similar tools like moderation and all of that good stuff. The thing is that since I started in the DOS days, we sent an email to a server and asked to subscribe to a particular list. And Majordomo had many, many lists across many, many networks. And let's say that I wanted to subscribe to Computer Talk. And these Majordomo servers, I believe, was at a network. So I believe, if I remember right, it was like St. John's or something. Now, I don't remember the exact address, and it would have been kind of cool to, you know, write it down and save it somewhere, but back in those days there wasn't really any way to keep stuff long term unless we held on to floppies, which I did for a long time, but nowadays I couldn't get it unless I ordered a floppy drive for USB. But honestly, those days are long over. So let's say that the Majordomo address was majordomo@stjohns.edu, where Saint is the short version of it, ST. So in the body or subject, you would put subscribe Computer Talk. Now let's say that that particular server didn't have it, but it was connected to the server that did. It would send you back an email and say, we don't have this list, but the server at St. Cloud does, so we forwarded your request to them for processing. So you got an email from St. John's, and then you got an email from St. Cloud. Now, mind you, this is all made up at this point, but this is how the network worked. That's the short version of that. But when it came to running a list, I was already on, I believe I was on Topica lists. And so I had created an account. The service at the time was called MyTopica, my.topica.com. It no longer exists, as I indicated. And the short version of that is we had a problem, and I had sent an email, and then they called me, and they were working on my account, and I got confused, so I called. They said, you know, I said I'd call you when everything's working. I said, okay. You know, I saw something and was looking around, and I got confused. Sorry about that. Whatever the bug was, they were able to go in and fix it, and I had created two lists, one for Menvi Discuss, which is now hosted through the menvi.org domain through Mailman, and the other was Menvi Announce, which died when Topica closed, but Topica never said anything. So I also was on Yahoo Groups and started some lists there. I started Computer Cafe, and I also helped moderate several lists. So, the Yahoo Groups interface was quite easy to use for moderating. You followed the instructions it said. Forwarded, you know, let's say to this address for approval. If you modified it, we'll take the approval. There were, you know, plenty of web options, more than Topeka ever had. For example, Yahoo Groups had the ability to send you a file of rules every so often, and even on subscription, you got it. And so they had a nice tool set. You could upload pictures, you could upload files, you could upload links. Topeka didn't have any of that. It was strictly email. And so, as a user of both services, you know, each list was set up differently, and you had to learn that. But then I moved into Mailman. Mailman is installed on host packages, and it has lots of customizations. Even to the point where you can practically manage your whole web interface with colors and all sorts of stuff. You can modify the HTML to match your website, like I did with 986 The Mix's listeners list. We went into the HTML and modified it to match the colors of the website for those who were sighted. And it also has the capability of passwords. And I'm not too fond of the fact that it sends the password in plain text each month. But for subscribing to email lists, that's better, because then somebody can't come along and they can't mess with your subscription. Let's say I was subscribed to a mailing list on Mailman, and somebody got a hold of my email address. Well, they can write the unsubscribe command to do so. Now, I'm not giving any commands or any way to do this. And by the way, the email interface is quite nice too, because at one point you could actually subscribe other addresses, and I would only use that if people were approving of it, but they still had to approve the subscription. I don't sense that it works anymore. I'm not completely sure of that. They may have gotten away of that, because it could definitely have been used to subscribe people who knew nothing about your network. And I tried to use it to subscribe to people that did want to be there. Now, Mailman also has mass subscriptions and mass removal functions. Topeka, you used to be able to mass subscribe until the ISP started complaining, and they changed that to invite only, and you had so many invites. And that was all well and good, because Topica tried to work with the ISPs so that they didn't get blocked. You know, they allowed us to create mailing lists, and they had a free service, and it was very nice. Now, what do I think of Yahoo Groups? Well, Yahoo Groups has a nice array of features, as I said. They lasted a lot longer than Topica. But you can't beat running your mailing list either on your own network or through something like Mailman. One of the guys in San Francisco that I had contact with, he went on to assist me with a database, which I no longer physically maintain anymore. It's just too complex to do. I did it for quite a while, but I honestly need to, you know, back up these lists. And I think there's a better way to do it than to just have everybody's information in a database that if something were to happen to it, then I couldn't access it anymore. The long or the short of it is, everything on Mailman can be practically done by email. There's a request address for each list. You type in help and it gives you a bunch of commands, probably more than any service I have ever used. I'm not going to sit here and trash services like groups.io, which is relatively new. Google Groups is relatively new. But, you know, these types of services aren't going to last forever. And as you've seen in Sean's talk on Yahoo, you know, they found that it's no longer viable. You know, people have gone to Facebook and started groups there. I don't necessarily want to start a group on Menvi because Menvi is a specific network that you have to be a member of to be on that group. And I frankly don't want to host a group like that on Facebook. Menvi also delivers news journals and other stuff, and I can't do that through Facebook. Can't put up an attachment. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't seem like that's the right fit for me. Now for others, you know, Yahoo was mentioning Facebook groups. I say, look at your individual group needs and decide if that's the way you want to go. Remember that you have to be a Facebook member to access those groups. You don't have to be any member to join an email list. So keep that in mind, whether you host through Mailman or through some other service once Yahoo closes. The problem I had with Yahoo Groups is that there was no customer service. If something wasn't working, you were screwed. At least there was a support email address for Topica. And of course, I don't know if there are any support options for those people who are using Google Groups or groups.io or anything else that's out there. We all know that Facebook doesn't offer any help for much of anything. I mean, Twitter does have the Twitter support and they do have ways to get in contact with people, but it's hard. You sort of have to know where to go. And honestly, If I had a problem with something, I'd rather talk to somebody instead of chatting with them. You get a lot faster done with talking to somebody, trust me. It took me quite a while to get stuff figured out with changing my mailing address on my account because my mailing address was out of date for my domain registrations, and I finally needed it to get it done. And yes, they were sending me images, but I said, you know, this image thing's not working. I'm a blind individual. You know, I need you to tell me what to do. And yes, I got it done, and they verified everything went well. They said one domain needed, I needed to send it, wait for an email, but I never got that. But now I need to decide how I'm going to do this. Do I go into each domain and set it with its with the address specific to that, or you know what? I haven't quite figured that out yet, and I need to do that at some point. The long and the short of it is, I know how to do it now. But, you know, mailing lists are gonna stay, whether you like it or not. I know Freedom Scientific, for example, has many different options, you know, for communication. They got phone, they got email. I believe you can contact, you know, they've got Facebook and things, so you can contact them through there. I don't know if they've got any groups there, but I know they've got a JAWS users list that is not ran by them, but I believe that is a mailman list, a mailman run list. Now, each of the services you could set to reply to the sender, but mailman has you able to reply to an explicit email address. And so the way to set up mailman announcement lists is a lot more complicated than others, because you actually have to set the moderation flag to yes and then uncheck your moderation flag. That's how you do it in Mailman, but there were actually specific options for discussion, announcement, or no posting. So each service is going to have their strengths and weaknesses, and I'm not going to tell you which one you should use once Yahoo finally goes. Now, wouldn't it be cool if the Majordomo network, as I discussed at the beginning of this, was in full effect? You could send one email, tell it what list you want to subscribe, it knew where to go, send your request over there without you trying to remember which, you know, domain to send it to. And they had a list search feature by email, where you can't do that with anything else. You have to actually go to Google Groups or groups.io, or even on the mailman list, if there was a web page with all of the public mailing lists that you were interested in, you could do that. Oh yes, and I almost forgot. Mailman allows you to set your list private, so nobody else can find it. For example, if you had a users list for your business to communicate with them and the like. Anyway, just talking about some services that are out there without going into a whole detail of, you know, what's out there for, you know, everybody, and go into a lot of detail on how each of them work. I don't know how Groups works. I don't know how groups.io works. I know how Mailman works, I remember some of how the major domo stuff worked, and that was kind of cool. Now, if Mailman could do that across the entire internet, that would be kind of cool too. Although, that would be kind of cool for Facebook. You search for a particular group and it knows, you know, who has it. It would pop it up. I don't know if it works that way, but as for Yahoo groups, I think they were the leader in trying to manage your list, because they had functions that I don't think I've seen anywhere else, like link sharing and photo sharing and things of that nature. And for those who use them, it'll be too bad when they do finally close that. Anyhow, that's it for me. I'm Jared Reimer saying thanks so much for listening to my story on the listservs and how I've managed them. Each person's going to be different, and if you want to be part of this, upload your file through the Jared Reimer Network SendSpace upload tool at jaredreimer.net/sendspace.html. This is going to complete the program, everybody. Email iMessage tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. You can also visit the blog. You can read stuff, comment on it, and even submit your own audio for a future podcast. You have a comment on it, you don't want to do it over there on the blog, send it by audio. And let your voice be heard. Go to jaredreimer.net/sendspace.html if you do not have Dropbox or another file sharing service you use. I look forward to hearing what you have to say.